This is Gulf Coast Live. I'm Julie Glenn. Later this hour, we'll learn about a project by a group of kids in Collier County which won a world competition for their Odyssey Angels project. We'll learn about the Plarn mats that they developed for homeless people to sleep on and how that project will now be spread worldwide. We'll meet one of the team members and the coaches a little later in the show. But first, you probably saw news coverage of the tragic situation that unfolded at a Hollywood, Florida nursing home and rehabilitation facility in the wake of Hurricane Irma. 12 residents died and 141 of the home's patients stayed there for 3 days without air conditioning. The deaths were declared homicides by the medical examiner, and while this horrific story drew attention to the issue that residents often face in nursing homes, patient advocates say that the issue is far deeper and systemic. On today's show, we've brought in News Press watchdog reporter and columnist Melanie Payne to talk about a series of reports that she has published along with Naples Daily News reporter Ryan Mills starting in February of this year. The long-form pieces cover everything from agencies that oversee nursing homes and their hit-or-miss oversight to the people who have suffered because of neglect at nursing homes in the state. Melanie Payne, welcome to Gulf Coast Live. Thanks for coming in today.
Thank you.
What have your experiences been like at nursing homes in Southwest Florida? We'd like to hear your story, too. So give us a call at 877-428-8255. That's 877-GCU-TALK. On Facebook, we're at WGCU Public Media. And on Twitter, we're at WGCU using the hashtag GCO. This is a huge, tangled issue. So how do you even begin a project with a scope like this?
It was kind of difficult to get in. And as you said, one of the things that started us into the project was looking at what happened in Hollywood Hills. This was after Irma. They lost their air conditioning. And 14 people died. 12 people, it was ruled a homicide. And when we looked at that home and their record, it really was not one of the worst rated homes in the state of Florida. So we began to think, well, if this can happen at this home, what's going on with the rest of the homes? And the owner of that home had been involved in a fraud suit, and we couldn't understand why he was allowed to have another home. You know, what was going on with that?
How does he continue to own and operate these things when he's been accused of fraud?
Well, he settled.
He settled with an accusation of fraud. And then, so you were looking at this one going, this horrible thing happened at one that was, you know, kind of average, maybe below
low average.
But there are ones that are worse.
Much worse. And so we actually gathered quite a bit of data. We looked at the star rating, which comes from the Centers for Medicaid and Medicaid Services, which is the government agency that regulates nursing homes, and we looked at their violations from the Agency for Healthcare Administration.
And ACA is what they call it for short, right?
Sure. And so we looked, and from that, we looked at people who had 1 and 2 stars over 18 quarters, or homes that had 1 and 2 stars over 18 quarters. And a majority of 1 and 2 stars, and more than 100 violations in that time. And we came up with 54 nursing homes that fit that criteria. And they were pretty bad. I mean, things were really bad that were happening there.
Well, you know, there's data. And then there are personal stories. And you started this series with the story of Coleman Feltz. He's a Vietnam veteran who was in Golden Glades Nursing and Rehabilitation Center. Can you tell me a little bit about what happened to him?
Well, he had a history of wandering. He had been in an assisted living facility. And because of leaving that facility and getting lost and being picked up by the police, he had to be moved to a place where they could keep an eye on him.
It was more secure, right?
Right. It was supposed to be secure.
Uh-huh.
He left the nursing home somehow and was found drowned the next day in a lake. There was some delay in reporting to the police that he was even missing. And he was right there next – this lake is right next to the nursing home. And it just turned out that, you know, nobody had really checked on him. And even though he had this history, they did not assign someone to make sure that he was in the nursing home.
He was 75 years old.
Yeah.
What was Golden Glades' history? Had they been – were they a troubled nursing home to begin
with? Oh, yeah. They really were. And, you know, and owned by a guy that's also has is involved in a fraud suit. So, it you know, it that was one of the things that we got into is why are these nursing homes allowed to year after year? The surveys that they do where they look at violations are once a year. They have these terrible surveys and they are allowed to remain open.
So is there any way that like, for example, Coleman Phelps, is there any way his family could have known? Is there a repository of information where they can go and say, oh, yeah, well, these people have been accused of negligence in the deaths of at least five patients, according to lawsuits filed since 2013? How does a layperson find that out to avoid – I mean, if they know that, they probably wouldn't have sent him there.
Right. And it's somewhat difficult to access the information. It can be done, but it really takes a lot of effort and also knowing where to look. The surveys for we call them inspections. They're really – that's what they are more. And those have been actually pulled off of the state website. They used to be – have access to the state – used to have access to them on the state website.
And why are they gone now?
There was an issue with their redaction process, which taking out information because you do want to protect the privacy of the people.
Well, you have HIPAA laws, right?
Right, exactly. But they were basically – you couldn't understand what was going on. The software that they were using was taking out, you know, just ridiculous things, and they became they really weren't useful.
Like so references to a person should be taken out, but references to the color of the curtains in the room
right,
would
exactly.
also be taken
yes.
out for no
or,
reason.
Or prepositions.
Oh, okay.
So it was really kind of bizarre.
Oh, okay.
So anyway.
So they didn't want to go to the effort to actually, you know, manually do the redaction and still have those inspections available. They just said, we'll just take all the inspections off anyway.
Yes. But they have said that they're going to put them back on. And those went back for 5 years. But they said you can also go to the federal government and look at those inspections also. Those inspections only go back 3 years. Then there's a thing called adverse incidents. When there's a report that something bad happened at the nursing home, they are supposed to self-report that to the agency. But that information is not available to the public in any form except, you know, we had X number of reports of death, X number of reports of abuse. So you don't even know that it happened at that nursing home. So it's really very difficult without, you know, being able to go visit the nursing home, being able to talk to people, that sort of thing.
That's a tough situation for a lot of people, specifically, I think, in Florida, because a lot of people live here and don't have their family nearby because they, you know, retired down here or whatever. And
yeah.
you're asking your kids or, you know, relatives to come to Florida and do all that kind of due diligence on your behalf when you don't even know that you should even be asking.
And that's the other thing about it is that they can go into these nursing homes. Even if you did that and you checked up and you thought, okay, this is a good nursing home, if you're in Minnesota or Chicago, you're not going to be able to get here to come to see your relative on a regular basis. And so without people having that sort of family protection, which also doesn't necessarily work.
It doesn't always guarantee
no,
it.
No, it doesn't. But it does help. It does help.
So is Golden Glades' history unique? I mean, I would hope that they would be an outlier among Florida nursing homes.
Well, there are 670 or mm-hmm. so nursing homes, and there were only 54 or 55 that really made our terrible list. So that's still like 1 in 12, and they're close to the bottom of that list, but they're by no means unique in Florida.
So, well, ultimately, who is responsible for overseeing quality of care at these nursing homes? Is that a federal oversight or is that a state oversight?
It is. I would say that it's really the responsibility of the state. They are the investigators for the federal government. You know, the money ultimately comes from the federal government. Then it comes to the state. The state distributes it to the nursing homes. But the problem is that the nursing homes are regulated with the federal regulations. The state enforces those regulations. And the state is responsible for licensing these homes, and they're responsible for imposing penalties on them.
Is that body not doing its job, or are the regulations just so lax that while they are enforcing the rules, it doesn't make much of a difference?
The regulations are a fairly low bar. And so you can stay in stay open, you know, getting a one star. You can still remain open. The state has a philosophy of kind of incentivizing these nursing homes to improve as opposed to being purely punitive. The other thing is that they argue
quite – like positive reinforcement, like we're raising a toddler?
like making sure that they have the policies and procedures in place and, you know. They also – the nursing homes have a really very strong lobby in Florida. And so when it comes to things like changing what the staffing levels have to be and certain regulations, state regulations, state fines, they have a big influence on that.
Yeah, there was a serious pushback when they were trying to pass legislation, which ultimately did pass, about making sure everybody had generators so that they could have air conditioning. Yeah. And that was after 14 people died, 12 considered a homicide in Hollywood Hills. We just talked about that. But like you mentioned, that lobby, that is so powerful. But there was pushback against forcing nursing homes to have generators in place to keep people safe.
Yes.
That's the same lobby you're talking about.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, it's an interesting situation with these homes. And one of the things that we got in and the second story in this series was kind of the financial structure of them. And they aren't, for instance, they don't have to carry liability insurance. And so, you know, people have to take civil actions when there's a wrongful death. It's
slip and fall, like a visitor, they don't have liability against that? Wow.
I don't know whether they have that kind of liability, but
as far as
the
liability
patients.
With the patients?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We are talking with News Press Watchdog reporter and columnist Melanie Payne about her series on issues facing nursing homes here in Southwest Florida and around the state. She and Naples Daily News reporter Ryan Mills have published a number of reports on the topic since earlier this year, and we want to know what you think about how nursing homes are treating their patients. What do you think of reporting that shows how bad some of these places are treating the elderly? Have you had a similar experience? Please give us a call at 877-428-8255. That's 877-GCU-TALK. I wanted to ask you, talking about the lobby and about the power and the government, one of the sources that you talked with was Brian Lee. He's the former head of Florida's long-term care ombudsman program in the Department of Elder Affairs. Does that department still exist? Not the Department of Elder Affairs, but does that ombudsman program still exist?
Yes, it does. And it was a much stronger program, I think, a decade or so ago. But Brian Lee left. He was not an industry favorite. And when the administration changed, he lost his job. And he set up this nonprofit group.
So politics play in that too.
Yes.
So then he ended up setting up a new nonprofit advocacy group called Families for Better Care. Is he not making any additional friends in that role?
Not at all.
Not within the nursing home facility. Did he feel like he could get more done as a nonprofit advocacy?
Well, it was really the only opportunity left for him after he was no longer running that. And the ombudsman program, I mean, one of the things that Gary Farmer suggested, he's a state rep out of the Lauderdale area of Broward County. Uh-huh. He said that he would you know, like the ombudsman program to have a little more teeth to it where they could go in and do, you know, spot investigations and kind of undercover. And there are some problems with that logistically.
Well, even if you do give it teeth, if you have the person running it that's not
yeah. –
doesn't have his own teeth, for
right.
example, you know what
exactly.
I'm saying? It doesn't
yeah.
Brian Lee have to say about the trajectory that he's seen over the years in terms of how older people are being taken care of at these homes? Does he see things declining or getting any better?
Not getting any better. You know, and you can say that certain things have gotten better. I mean, you know, people aren't tied to beds anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But the influence of the industry and the you know, it's turning into a real for-profit business. And you know, along with that becomes a weighing of is it profits or is it patient care?
Oh, we touched earlier about the Hollywood Hills post-Irma situation and the pushback about that. And there are politicians who are pushing for a complete overhaul of the way Florida regulates its nursing homes. And you mentioned the Democrat from Fort Lauderdale. Are there any others that are joining on that you've heard of?
Well, I think that there are all sorts of people that are concerned about the issue. I think Farmer is one of the ones that was most vocal. Things, you know, as simple as allowing people to place cameras in the rooms, you know, that was another issue that's come up and was, I mean, his suggestions never made it out of committee. So that'll kind of tell you how – I don't think they even got a hearing. And so that – you know, that's how much support that kind of change had.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of things get to Capitol Hill and then just don't go anywhere. Mm-hmm. Tell me the story. I want to personalize it again. And tell me about Nicholas York. He was in Heritage Park here in Fort Myers. What happened with him?
Well,
because he's not – this is an example of somebody who's not necessarily elderly but needing rehabilitation.
Right. He came down for his daughter's wedding. He was not from – he was not living here. Most of his family was here. And he had a business somewhere on the East Coast, I'm not sure, in New England. Mm-hmm. And he had a stroke. And when he had the stroke, he was put into a nursing home. He transferred to Heritage Park because he had heard – that they allowed him more freedom. And they did, but they gave him that freedom without teaching, showing him how to use his wheelchair to cross US 41. And he was hit on the road there. And his according to his son, his aftercare necessitated him having to get his leg amputated. There were just a lot of really – Heritage Park was another one of the nursing homes that we found where the care was really, you know, substandard in terms of their violations and their ratings. And it was unique in that it also was never really fined for any of these things, even though ACA had found – quite a few violations, and they cited them for Nicholas York. He wasn't the only patient that they hadn't trained how to go out into the public with this – using these, you know, device – these wheelchairs.
It's new to him, you know.
Yeah, right. And so they ended up – you know, they just had no real punishment for that, you know.
How did you learn about that story?
That story, actually, there was a police report. And what happened is because the names are redacted from the nursing homes surveys, they take the names away out of those. We sometimes have and they usually take out the dates too. So we asked for all the police reports for that nursing home. And then we kind of tried to piece together which incident reports matched which complaint surveys. Mm-hmm. And that's how we hit on who that was.
And you ended up talking with, I think, his son?
His son. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, you know, that's one of the other things that made this a little bit more difficult is that these nursing homes, when there's a wrongful death, they often get sued. And when they get sued, part of the agreement is not to discuss what the settlement was and also the conditions of what happened. So sometimes it was difficult to track down family members who did not have that clause or fought not to have that clause in their settlement. The Yorks had not sued. So.
The non-disclosure agreements.
Right.
We've heard a lot about those recently in the news. How did Heritage Park respond when you asked them about this particular case?
Well, you know, the director was one of the few people who actually talked to me.
Yeah, I was surprised.
Yeah, it was just a quick comment. And she said, you know, people are happy here. And that's kind of – you know, she said, we provide good care.
And she says, you know, walk in any day and it'll be fine. It's great. You should come see it.
Yeah. And I actually have walked in there. I know someone who is in that nursing home. And it's not anywhere I'd want to be or I'd want to put a loved one. But, you know, that's the other thing. Especially if you're on Medicaid, which is the state program to pay, there sometimes isn't a lot of choice of where you're going to go. And people are, you know, waiting to get in.
That money makes a difference.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, Medicaid nursing homes actually lose money on Medicaid. It is not enough for the care that they provide. And so so they have patients who are in with Medicare. And this is what kind of set up the situation of our second story, where the largest nursing home provider in the state had a whistleblower suit and a judgment of $347 million because they kind of boosted their or they were accused and found guilty of boosting their Medicare payments to kind of make up for what they weren't getting from Medicaid. But also they weren't providing the care to the Medicaid because it was a flat rate. And to provide that much care, you're probably not going to be able to make money off of it.
So learning about this first time and, you know, being a human being, when you think about a human being having a price tag on there, that this is a nursing home that's only getting, I don't know the numbers, $80, you know, to cover you, but this guy is getting $100 from the government to cover you, so you're going to get better care, but you really didn't have any say in.
Well, it's not so, even that you're going to get better care. You're just going to get more services that they can bill the government for, or they're going to misrepresent how much care you need in order to do that.
Get more money coming
in. To get more money. And that really is, you know, that situation is not common, but they would – nursing homes have to get Medicare patients in order to make enough money to cover for the Medicaid.
We're exploring the many troubling issues surrounding nursing homes uncovered by a series of reports in the news press and Naples Daily News on this part of today's show. And I'm talking in the studio by News Press Watchdog reporter and columnist Melanie Payne, who wrote the series with Naples Daily News reporter Ryan Mills, who happens to be out of town. And as always, we'd like to hear from you. So if you've had an experience with a nursing home here locally, or if you have questions, give us a call at 877-428-8255. That's 877-GCU-TALK. We talked a little bit earlier about how when people have a lawsuit, it's hard for you to get sources for the story because there aren't very many families who haven't been forced to sign a non-disclosure agreement as a result of a lawsuit. And you also talk to attorneys who specialize in elder representation and helping people in dealing with these nursing homes. And not just elderly, just anybody that's been in a nursing care facility. And I'm wondering, do those attorneys ever have much success? And the successes that they do have, are they usually outside of the courtroom?
Well, there's a couple things that happen. Most of them will, you know, they don't take every case. So people die in nursing homes. That's, you know, that's what happens. So they actually vet the case pretty well to see if what actually the person is saying, complaining about, it would actually have caused the death or you know, push this person along, basically. So they vet on the first end. And then there's also a period, and I'm not quite sure about this, but I think it's 75 days where you have to give the nursing home a chance to mediate this problem with you. And a lot of them never really make it to court. It's kind of settled right there in that 75-day period.
Do nursing homes prefer to settle outside of court in that 75-day period if they can get by with not much of an amount and keep people quiet?
Julie, I have no way of knowing how many cases there are like that.
Yeah, because they don't disclose it.
Right, exactly. And it doesn't show up in court records. So there
all you can do is get anecdotal words of from attorneys who say that this, these are the numbers, right?
Right. But I will tell you that this case is the wrongful death cases we looked at, which was almost 200. I don't think a single one went to trial. They pretty much settled all before they went before a jury. And there were only a few that were dismissed in favor of the defendant.
From your reporting, I kind of get the feeling that ACA is a bit reluctant to shut down homes that are noncompliant. Instead, they use a series of threats to withhold their licenses. They levy kind of insubstantial fines. Do you think nursing homes are kind of calling the bluff and know it's rare for someone to actually get shut down, so they just do the bare minimum?
Well, I don't know that that's the case. I do think that they know that there's not going to be anything really significant unless they do – some pretty horrific things. The state can shut a nursing home down if they have two what are called class one violations. So, you know, and there are have been incidents of that within a certain period or during the same inspection that are unrelated. And – but they have not acted to shut nursing homes down for those for the most part. But the problem is that you really don't want to – there's pushback on shutting a nursing home down.
Because it doesn't seem like there's a whole lot of them. I mean, it's not like we have an overabundance of nursing homes that have a lot of space.
No, we don't. But more than that, this is a home for a lot of people. You know, the person I know that's in Heritage Park I think has been there for – at least 14 years maybe. So, you know, it's very disruptive to move a person. And a lot of the people have Alzheimer's disease or some form of dementia. This could really be almost fatal to have their home shut down and they have to move out. One of the things that ACA has in its arsenal is that they can force a change of ownership. And they do that pretty rarely too, but they do that. And there have been several incidents of them shutting them down, but not really a whole lot.
How does Florida compare to other states?
You know, we really did not look at that.
Right? I'm just curious. Well, I mean, we have so many retirees here.
Right.
We should probably kind of get it together.
Yeah, we probably should be at the top of the pack, but I don't think we are. I think we're probably, from what I've heard, we're in the middle, but honestly, I haven't. Have not heard. And you know, and it's hard to say who's doing it right either. I mean, it just, you know.
Well, some of this, I mean, it's kind of subjective. I mean,
yeah.
Some people are okay with things being a little dirty. Some people are really not. Different levels of tidiness and things like that could trigger some people in different ways. And
yeah, but tidiness is really important in a nursing home.
Well, yeah, cockroaches. And you talked about one woman with ants, fire ants.
Yeah.
And
yeah, you know, those types of things can, you know, their disease can spread. People who don't, you know, when one of the things in the surveys are controlling disease spreading and trying MRSA and C. diff are just really, really bad infections and can kill older people.
Yeah. We have a call coming in from Sue in Naples who has a question. Sue, what would you like to ask?
Hi, yes. I was calling because I'd like you to touch on, I'm not sure if you've already touched on this, but the staff that's being hired by nursing homes. And I find that it's just across the board, it's a low quality employee that is there taking care of our elderly. And that's a day-to-day problem that exists for the individual patient.
All right, Sue, that's a great question. In fact, we had not talked about that. I'll get the answer off the phone. I'm going to hang up, but we'll have the answer on the air. What do you think about Sue's question about staffing and turnover rates and being able to attract good employees to work at nursing homes?
Well, I personally think staffing is probably the number one thing about a nursing home. I mean, some of them can look absolutely gorgeous, but if the director of nursing and your staff is not good, it's going to be a problem, and she's perfectly right. The big problem is the job just doesn't pay that well,
and it's not an easy job.
And it's not an easy job. And it, you know, the CNAs, which are the certified nursing assistants, are the people that are really giving that day to day care, and it's really hard to find those employees, and especially to find them at the pay level that people want to pay. I actually looked that up. We didn't include it in the article, but I got on Indeed and you know, just kind of monitored it. And it runs at about $11 to $12 an hour at places. And, you know, it's just you're really dealing with a kind of a very difficult, hard working environment.
And $11 an hour.
Right. I saw one for $12.75. I mean, it's just
– and you're caring for someone.
Right.
Who may have Alzheimer's or may have some other kind of – can't move, can't get out of bed. You have to help carry them to get to the restroom.
Right.
And then you're going to have to clean up after that if
and
it doesn't
– you clean them up, yeah. And it's hands-on care. And, you know, it's really – sad situation. And then also the staffing levels. I mean, there are just a lot of times one of the reports we read and the person said to the some incident happened, and I can't remember which one it was, but she said, I have 50 people that I have to look after on this shift, and that what are you going to do? I mean, it's just too hard.
And getting paid a fairly
low wage,
mm-hmm. low hourly rate. We have another call coming in from Karen in North Fort Myers. She's a former executive director of an assisted living facility. Karen, what would you like to add?
Hi, my name is Karen. I ran an assisted living facility for all
time. Karen, I'm sorry, you're really kind of cutting out. I have no idea what you're saying. I can't hear you quite well. Are you there, Karen?
Sorry, I'm in my car. Yeah, I'm here. Maybe that's the...
Nope.
Yeah, we've disconnected. I'm sorry, Karen. I really wanted to hear what you had to say. If you're unable to call with a clear connection, do comment on Facebook or Twitter at WGCU Public Media on Facebook, or send us a tweet at WGCU using the hashtag of GCL. So I wanted to...
Can we talk a minute about what she was at an assisted living facility, and I think sometimes people confuse the two. Assisted living is quite a bit different than what we're talking about are skilled nursing facilities.
Oh, okay. Assisted living is different.
Yes. And usually you don't need as high of a care, the people that are in assisted living. It's assisted. It's not
nursing
skilled
care.
Nursing care. Right.
Yeah, it's kind of a different story. That's true. But before we run out of time, I do want to go over some things that I think can be helpful for people
sure.
that are listening to and or alarmed by the story that we're talking about. First of all, not every nursing facility in the state is in that bottom 50-57.
Yeah. And there are some really good nursing homes in the state. And the other thing is that people need to keep in mind that a bad thing can happen at a good nursing home. It, you know, sometimes that's just the way it is. But so, you know, it's not necessarily just one incident that you want to say, oh, you know, this is a terrible place.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, we do have Karen back. Before I get to your tips for people that are looking into nursing facilities, let's see if we can get Karen back on the line, see how you sound. Karen, are you there?
Yes, I am. I'm sorry. I was in my car. I'm a former executive director of an Alzheimer's assisted living community. One of the things that I always encourage my families to read is our state survey, or as they call it, state inspection. And when I also work as a healthcare advocate now, and when I refer people to an assisted living or a nursing home or any type of a community like that, I ask them to have the executive director show them the state survey. I believe by law they are allowed to show that. And it's a good indication of what the situation is with that nursing home or with that community. Also, I find that the Ombudsman program is an excellent program. That's a volunteer program where when there is a complaint, it's called in, and the Ombudsman do come out and they do investigate the program, and these people are all volunteers. So there's other ways of finding out about a nursing home other than just the word of mouth or the local gossip. You know, ask to see a state survey. No community should refuse to show you that. That would be just my advice to any family, and I give that to my families.
So there was a database that was available online that had those surveys, a.k.a. inspections, that were available online, but they're no longer available online. But if you go to a facility and ask them, they have to be able to provide that for people?
Yes, they do. Every executive director has that in their office. It should be readily available for any family that's, or any healthcare advocate that's doing an inspection or bringing a possible person into that community. Absolutely.
All right. Well, Karen, that's a great piece of information. I really appreciate that. And that actually helps me to pivot to some ideas of things for people to look at if they're looking at nursing facilities. Thanks, Karen, so much for calling back.
Thank you for taking my call. Bye-bye.
So she was talking about that you can look at those inspections or surveys
at
the actual facility, but
yeah.
They're not posted online anymore like they used to
not
be.
Not on the state online, but you can find them on the federal. It's just a little harder to dig and find them, but you can find them.
You kind of got to be a detective.
Yeah, a little bit.
Which is what a reporter's job
is.
And
they're also, because they can be redacted, it might not be that easy to read.
It might not be as clear. But you suggested 10 things that people can do when they are looking at nursing homes. And one of those tends to be going there physically.
Yeah.
If you're going to go anyway, you might as well ask about those surveys.
If you're there, ask for the surveys. Ask how long the director of nursing has been there. Talk to some of the staff. See if they're friendly. Talk to other people who are there. See if they're visiting their relatives. Also, while you're there, look at and this seems silly, but look at the menu and see what they're serving, and then kind of look and see if that's actually what the people are getting and what the quality of the food is.
Well, that was the first thing I looked at with my grandmother. I was looking at the food.
Yeah.
Well, she's Italian, so
yeah.
I'm going to go over this list real quick because I wrote it because I don't want to miss anything. And this is a handy checklist for people. How long has the nursing director worked there? Because high staff turnover is can be a sign of problems. How many registered nurses work there, and what's the ratio of licensed nurses to certified nursing assistants? Now, those CNA, certified nursing assistants, are those the people that we were talking about earlier that are like hourly, 11, you found 1275 was the highest you found on Indeed?
Right. And the other thing about that, though, is that a registered nurse or a licensed practical nurse, they have training. They can recognize things that a CNA might not recognize.
And in some cases, the certified nursing assistants are ones that are working towards the different other nursing tiers, too. So they may be on the road there. So.
Yeah.
Is the staff friendly? How good is the food, like you mentioned? What do relatives visiting other residents say while you're there? Maybe, you know, strike up a conversation with family members who are visiting other patients to see what they have to say about the place. Are there good activities listed on the home's calendar? And are they actually happening?
Right.
Everybody can make a pretty, you know, Microsoft Outlook calendar that has all kinds of activities, but are they actually doing it? How do the residents look? If they don't look like they're clean, comfortable, or neat, it could be a red flag.
That's another big one. I mean, just look at people's fingernails. Look at whether the men have been shaved. That sort of thing is really indicative of how much actual care they're getting.
That is a good point. And then what do the state inspectors say about them? You can find those at the actual home itself, at the nursing facility itself, or you can find other reports at the Florida Health Finder website, which you conveniently linked in your article. So if you haven't read these articles, you can find all of these on the News Press and Naples Daily News websites. And we have links to those on our website, which is wgcunews.org. What do federal regulators say about the home? You can go to medicare.gov, Nursing Home Compare website, to review the nursing home star rating and other information. But as you mentioned, it's critical to actually go there.
If you can, that's the best thing. And also not necessarily go during the day. Try and go
off hours
or Sundays or Saturday, you know, late in the day.
That's not a bad idea. Is the home a member of a reputable trade association such as Leading Age Florida or the Florida Healthcare Association? Membership requires meeting certain standards and members are kept up to date on the best practices and regulations. It's always good to know that the people that are taking care of your loved one are staying on the cutting edge and continuing to educate themselves on new technologies or new ways to handle patients and the way illnesses progress.
For sure.
And also physical therapy.
Yeah. The Leading Age is an industry trade group mostly of nonprofit organizations in the healthcare industry.
Well, I want to direct everybody to take a look at WGCUnews.org and link through to read these articles. They are very extensively researched and really good reporting. I want to thank you, Melanie Payne, for coming in and talking with us today.
Thank you so much for having me. It's such an important issue, and I really appreciate it.
I really like to be able to highlight good work like that, too, so I was glad to have you. When we return, we'll hear about a local elementary school's big win at the Odyssey of the Mind World Finals for their Odyssey Angels project, which seeks to teach people around the world how to make sleeping mats for homeless people using recycled materials. We'll have that story next. I'm Julie Glenn, and you're listening to Gulf Coast Live. Stay with us.